prayer for us, just to focus this time, and we're going to go to God's Word and to the Christmas story in the Bible. So let's pray together. Father, we just thank you so much for the opportunity to be together, literally on Christmas. And we just pray that you would be with us as we go to your Word, and pray that you would speak to us in this time in a very special way. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. I just want to give a special welcome today to baby Daniel, who's in the back lobby, who's here. Also, baby Jeremiah, who is here. This is their first time in church. They're in the back lobby, so you can't see them, but they're here. Give them a nice clap so they can hear it. And we welcome you guys to church, to VOH. Okay, so today is Christmas Sunday, obviously, and so today the title of the message is Christmas, Christ Lifting Us Out of Our Mess. Christmas, Christ Lifting Us Out of Our Mess. And you'll see more of what I mean by that as we go along. So at least a very superficial level, the Christmas story is a birth story. And we've been experiencing a bunch of births, like Daniel and Jeremiah lately. My daughter was just born a couple of months ago, too. And so we kind of been used to birth stories, and a Christmas story is a birth story. And one important piece of the birth story is the journey to the hospital, right, or wherever the mother is going to give birth at. And so I'm going to start out with this question here, see if you can get the correct answer, at least according to the experts. So the question is, what's the recommended distance from the hospital when giving birth? Is it A, 5 to 10 minutes away, B, 10 to 15 minutes away, C, 15 to 20 minutes away, or D, 20 to 30 minutes away? How many of you guys think the correct answer, according to the experts, is A? How about B? How about C? How about D? Very few on D. The correct answer, according to the experts anyway, is D, 20 to 30 minutes away. Now, judging by the show of hands, I think you would agree with me that 20 to 30 minutes away is actually pretty far to be away from the hospital when you're about to give birth, right? So our story, when we were giving birth to Jubilee, our daughter, was our house in Walnut is 22 minutes away from the hospital we're going to give birth at in Whittier. And we thought that's too far away, even though that's within the recommendation of the experts, right? But so a few days before the due date, we moved in with the Kwans, Evangeline's parents, who are 8 minutes away from the hospital in Whittier, right? So we are closer. We felt more comfortable with that. So the due date comes, and Evangeline wakes me up in the middle of the night. It's pretty stressful when you're waking up in the middle of the night and your baby's coming. I don't know why my three kids all came in the middle of the night. So she wakes me up in the middle of the night. Frantically, we get ready. We start heading to the hospital. We turn onto the main road. For those of you familiar, Kalima Road, headed to Whittier Hospital. So we turn onto the main road. Lo and behold, there's a huge tree that I toppled over across the whole Kalima Road. And so there's a tree that's down across the road. So we pull up there. There's a police officer there, police car. I roll down the window, and I tell him, I point to Evangeline, and I say, I need to get to your hospital. And he points out the obvious to me, and he says, there's a tree that's fallen down across the road that you're not going to be able to go through. So he says, you need to find another way. So I tell Evangeline, you know, quickly look it up on your cell phone, the directions. I turn the car around. We start trying to go find another way in. And then Evangeline looks at me, and she says, I can't breathe. You know, and this sometimes happens, you know, with a woman that's in labor and she's having a difficult time breathing. We don't have the directions to the hospital. Yeah, I think you can imagine it was pretty stressful. We finally get to the hospital. My blood pressure was probably up at that point, but we finally get there. We make it there. But it was a, if you could let me put it this way, a messy, stressful situation. Now, I want to say for the very first birth or the birth story of Jesus, the first Christmas, it was very messy and stressful. You know, Mary and Joseph, they were from Nazareth, but they ended up in Bethlehem. They had to make a trip there right around the due date. That put them 4 to 7 days away from where they wanted to give birth. If they were way out of the comfort zone, the recommendation of the experts, 4 to 7 days away, but the situation gets messier and even more stressful. Let's pick up the story. Luke chapter 2 is the Christmas story. Luke chapter 2, and we're going to read 6 through 7 together. Okay, this is the New King James Version. So can you read that out loud together? This is the Christmas story. We're picking it up at this point, Luke 2, 6 through 7. Can read it out loud together. So it was. you guys familiar with those nativity scenes that are on people's front lawns, you know, during Christmas time? We were just looking at the Brea Christmas lights this past week. There was lots of them out there, those nativity scenes that depict, you know, the scene that's here in Luke chapter 2. And in those nativity scenes, it's always really nice and neat and clean, right? All the animals are lined up in front of Jesus in one straight row, bowing down to Jesus. And it's just not really just very pleasant, very neat, very clean, stress-free. But we're finding out here in this passage that it was pretty messy. It was pretty stressful, in fact. It says that that Jesus was placed in a manger. A manger is an animal feeding trough. So there was no other place to place baby Jesus except into an animal feeding trough. Definitely not the choice place to place a baby. We also find out in this passage that he was wrapped in swaddling cloths. And swaddling cloths, many scholars would say, are grave cloths. Mary and Joseph were on a really treacherous 4 to 7 day journey through the desert. A lot of people that made those trips in ancient Palestine carried grave cloths because oftentimes, unfortunately, some people didn't make it. And so that's all that they had, was these grave cloths. And so there we find on that very first Christmas, this birth story, Jesus was placed into an animal feeding trough in grave cloths into that manger. Certainly a messy situation. Now we find out this information in Luke chapter 2, and you might think, well, what does this have to do with me? You know, you're not going to be placed into a manger. You're not going to be placed in swaddling cloths. But I want to say that this morning, even on Christmas Sunday, you may find yourself not placed in a manger, but you might find yourself in a messy situation. This morning on Christmas Sunday, you might come to church, and you might not be wrapped in swaddling cloths, but you feel like you're swaddled in stress. You feel like there's stress that's swirling about you. And I want to say that on this Christmas morning, that the Bible says that Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And on that first Christmas, Jesus came into a messy situation, a stressful situation. And that's what Jesus chose to initiate himself into this world. And God, this morning, amidst our messiness, amidst our stress, desires to even initiate himself, chooses to initiate himself into our messiness and even into the situations that we might find stressful. You know, I think that this morning that's a good word for some of us here. You know, I have an interesting perspective when I stand up here as pastor of this congregation, because I look out into this crowd and I know some of the situations. I certainly don't know all the situations, maybe not even 50% of the situations, but I know enough of the situations to know that there's some of us this morning that are here even on Christmas Sunday, and there's some messiness and there's some stressfulness. And I want to tell you that that Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. On that first Christmas, he initiated himself. He chose to come into this world, into the messiness and the stressfulness, meeting us where we were. And he's the same yesterday, today, and forever, and this morning. Amidst any messiness that's going on in our lives, stressfulness going on in our lives, even sinfulness that's going on in our lives, Jesus chooses to meet us in it. But would you agree that it's not good enough if Jesus just meets us in it, but that Jesus desires to rescue us from it, that Jesus desires to lift us higher out of it, right? And that's also part of the Christmas story. So if you can turn over to Isaiah chapter 9, and Isaiah is a prophet, and this was 700 years before Jesus. And so in the Old Testament, Isaiah spoke, and he was prophesying about the coming Messiah, and this is what he said, or at least this is a portion of what he said, Isaiah 9, 6 through 7. So the prophet Isaiah about Jesus. Can you read it out loud together? For to us, I wonder if there's some here this morning on Christmas Sunday and you feel like the weight of the world is on your shoulders. Listen, I want to repeat the words of Isaiah, who prophesied 700 years before Jesus, and he said that the government will be on his shoulders. The weight of the world and the weight of sin was going to be on Jesus' shoulders. And Jesus was the only one that could take it and put it on his shoulders and begin to lift us out. And we might say, well, you know, is this what happened 2,000 years ago when Jesus was here, when Jesus was born? But the prophet Isaiah made it a point, and it's important for me to point out this morning, that he says of the greatness of his government and peace, there will be no end. It was going to be an ongoing and ever-increasing kingdom that Jesus was going to establish. And he said that it was going to be from that time on and forever in verse 7. See, Jesus doesn't just meet us in our messiness and our stress, although he does this morning, but he doesn't stop there, but he desires to lift us out and begin to put the world on his shoulders, put our messiness, sinfulness even, on his shoulders and begin to lift us out. I wanted to just use an illustration of my two boys. Silas is 4 and Levi is 2. And I just use this kind of more lighthearted because I think that it helps capture the point that Isaiah was trying to get across to us about the coming Messiah, about Jesus. So Silas and Levi, some of you guys know them. They're super active boys. You'll see them later running around and jumping up with each other. And so that's the way they are all the time, including when I'm trying to put them to sleep at night. And so there's times that they are just, you know, running around everywhere when it's getting really late and I'm trying to put them to sleep. I'm tired myself, and so there's going to be some times that I just collapse into their bed. And then I nod to them, and I tell them, there's a bear in the house. And they begin to immediately run, and they jump on top of me, one on one side and one on the other side. And I say, you guys all right? You guys all right? I'm going to take care of you guys. And so they're there, right there. I'm holding them tight. And then, inevitably, Silas, the 4-year-old, lifts his head up and he says, Daddy, you need to go kill the bear. And then Levi pops up, and in his limited words, he says, kill it. And so I take out my imaginary gun, and I go hunt down the bear, and I kill the bear, and I come back, and I let him know, okay, I took care of it. I took care of the bear. And they say, thank you, Daddy. And then if I'm fortunate, they fall asleep. If not, I got to do it 15 more times. But my point is that with Jesus, he comes into our messiness, right? And he's not just coming into our messiness and telling us everything's okay. He's also going to lift us out. He's also going to rescue us. He's also going to take care of our enemies. He's also going to lift us out of the messiness and stress and sinfulness. That's the heart of Jesus. That's the heart of our Heavenly Father. You know, so you might wonder now at this point, well, how can I receive this rescue? You know, you might come to church this morning on this Christmas Sunday with some messiness and stressfulness, maybe even sinfulness. How would Jesus rescue you? And I want to say that I think it's the same way that happened in that first Christmas story. If you would turn over in your Bibles to Matthew chapter 2, that's another account of the Christmas story. And it was the account about the Magi, where some people would refer to them as the wise men. These were learned men. Some people would say these were the kings of some kingdoms in the Middle East. And so these wise men, they had heard this already. These were learned men. They were scholars. They were the elite of society. And so they already heard this prophecy. They had read this in Scripture. They knew about, or they had heard about, a coming Messiah, a Jesus that was going to come, that was going to put the government on his shoulders. That his kingdom would be no end. It was go on. It would go on from that time on and forever. They had heard about that. But for the Magi, for the wise men, they weren't settled with just, they would not settle for just hearing about it. They needed to go and experience for themselves and get into the presence of Jesus for themselves to see and experience a God who would lift them up on his shoulders. You know, for the wise men, many would say that they journeyed for 2 years through the desert trying to find their way to Bethlehem following the star in the sky because they could not just hear about getting out of their messiness or stressfulness or sinfulness. They had to get into the presence of Jesus and experience for themselves a lifting up out of messiness, stressfulness, and sinfulness. I want to ask you this morning, on this Christmas Sunday, because I know some of us come to church this morning and there's messiness and there's stressfulness and there's sinfulness and all the rest of the ugliness of this world, and we need to be lifted up. And I want to ask you, are you like the wise men would say, I can't just hear about it. I need to get myself into the presence of Jesus for him to begin to lift me up out of this mess. I want to point out how this story ends for the wise men. In Matthew chapter 2, verse 12, can we just read this out loud together? And having been warned in a dream not to go back to Herod, they returned to their country by another route. Listen, these wise men, they came into the presence of Jesus hearing about Jesus. But when they left the presence of Jesus, they left hearing from Jesus. Listen, for some of us this morning, I hope that our heart is that we cannot just hear about Jesus or hear about someone else's testimony, someone else's 90-second testimony. I hope that we would say, I need to get into the presence of Jesus myself to experience Jesus for myself, lifting me out of the messiness and the stressfulness. I kept getting this word as I was preparing this message that God wants to take us higher. In fact, there's going to be a song that we're going to sing later on that literally says he takes us higher and higher and higher from glory to glory. And that's exactly what Jesus did on that first Christmas story. At the one portion of this story, it says this, and Matthew is quoting Micah, another prophet, and this is what the prophet Micah said some hundreds of years before Jesus. Can we read this out loud together? But you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah, for out of you will come a ruler who will shepherd my people, Israel. Listen, Bethlehem was an unknown city. It was a small city. As this passage seems to say, a small, seemingly insignificant city. But listen, when Jesus arrived, it changed everything. And for all the generations to come, this is going to be an internationally renowned city that we're still talking about today. And listen, it's still going to be talked about all the way until Jesus comes back. Why, when Jesus comes, he changes everything and he lifts us higher. And that's God's word to us this morning, I feel, on this Christmas Sunday. He wants to come and meet us in our messiness, stressfulness, and sinfulness, but he is not settled with just meeting us there. God is a God who will lift us up, put out the government on his shoulders, and begin to lift us up and out, and a God who would, just like that he did on that first Christmas, come and redeem and lift us out, even to a point of lifting us higher, just like Bethlehem was lifted higher, that this world was lifted higher because of him. I want to ask this morning two things, a point of response to God's word, to this Christmas story in the Bible. Are you here this morning that you have never accepted Jesus as your Lord and Savior, or you're not sure that you have? Listen, Jesus is the only one that could save you from your messiness, your stressfulness, your sinfulness. Would you open up your heart and receive Jesus, confess your sins to him, let him know that he already knows, but you just confess to him your messiness, stressfulness, and sinfulness, and ask him to enter into your heart to be your Lord and Savior, and let him lift you higher, just like we're reading about in this Christmas story. But I also want to speak to you this morning, if you're here and you've been a Christian for a long time, but this morning you find yourself in the midst of some messiness, stressfulness, maybe even sinfulness. And I want to tell you, Jesus is not good, not just good with meeting us in our messiness, stressfulness, and sinfulness. He's a God who wants to lift us higher, and that's what he wants to do this morning. Listen, on Christmas Sunday, God wants to give out gifts. I feel like this morning there's some of us that we come to church with messiness and stressfulness. Listen, don't leave here just hearing about God. Don't leave here just hearing about the testimonies. Leave here hearing from God, the comforting words of Jesus to you and to your situations, and let him lift you higher. Let's come before the Lord in prayer. I'll ask the worship team if you can come forward at this time. Prayer team, if you could come forward at this time too. And so I want to give those two invitations as we close out. Just have all eyes closed and heads bowed, just to keep this, make this a private moment for people as they respond to God's word. Are you here this morning that you have never given your life over to Jesus, or you're not sure? I would like the privilege to pray with you right now, to confess your sins and invite Jesus to be your Lord and Savior, and let him lift you higher, putting your life on his shoulders. I just give that invitation right now. If that's you and you want to make that prayer right now, just lift your hand all the way up and then down, and I want to pray with you right now. Just all the way up and then down. If that's you, I'm going to say a prayer. And you just pray this prayer, maybe under your breath or in your heart. We'd love to speak with you after this to continue to pray for you. Just pray and say, Jesus, I'm sorry for my sins. I thank you for your love for me. And I open up my heart to receive you as Lord and Savior, and ask you to lift me higher, to live with you all the days of my life. Can also give an invitation this morning, even if you've been a Christian for a long time, but you know that this morning on Christmas Sunday you come to church with some messiness and stressfulness, and you would ask God to lift you higher in it. I felt this word the last couple of days to two things specifically. This could apply to anything, but I just felt these two, there's finances, some messiness of finances, and then messiness in family situations. I felt especially to pray for that on this Christmas Sunday, because sometimes it's the toughest time to deal with those things, where there's messy family situations and it's Christmas and it's supposedly time to celebrate, but there's messiness and stressfulness of relationships within the family. I just feel like God wants to lift us higher, especially in those areas. Would you just raise your hand if this morning that you're asking God to lift you higher out of the messiness and stressfulness? Just put your hand up, all the way up and then down, and we'll just pray together for that. Father, we just declare who you are. You're the God who loves us. Jesus, you're the God who never changes. You're the same yesterday, today, and forever. Thank you that on that first Christmas, you came and you met humanity in the messiness and stressfulness. And you lifted us higher and you put the government on your shoulders. And I just declare that over our lives and over the situations, in particular financial situations, family situations. We just pray that you would do what only you can do. We're gathered here and asking for you, for your touch, for your blessing. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's stand.